If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings and the love of the one beloved. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Right-Mindedness. Realizing you are God is freedom from error. Realizing you are one with God, that you are God, is freedom from error. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and call yourself forward into your right-mindedness, that part of you that has never, ever believed in separation, that part of you that remembers your original wholeness and holiness. It is that part of the mind that gives you extreme sense of bliss, ecstasy, and a tremendous sense of relief every time you return your mind to that awareness that you remain forever one with God. That you are indistinguishable from God. That God is the mind with which you think. Truly thoughts that are divine and instantly creative. Truly you are the love that dissolves every form and appearance of error and separation, that sees all things eternally whole, innocent, and wholly lovable. That part that thinks in this manner is thinking thoughts as God. That is the God part of the mind. The part that seemingly split off into a dualistic view of things never really actually split off except in a moment of unconsciousness, forgetfulness, or dream. So right-mindedness is simply the return of your mind to that which is, that which remains, and that which has forever been untouched by your seeming passage in this dreamscape of time, space, duality, causation. So again this evening, we look at this topic through the lens of A Course in Miracles, given by the Master Jesus, for we had need of a celestial speed-up that would save us time by collapsing and releasing time that we had been rehearsing in mind, believing in the separation. And so we're ending the rehearsal of separation. And we're returning the mind to where, in truth, it's never left, which is one with God. So we live and move and have our being in the divine presence forever and ever and ever. And as awareness itself, we partake of the expansion of the divine glory until the whole of the dream is dissolved in the light, absolute truth and oneness. So let us remember that we are one with God and one with our brothers and sisters everywhere. We're walking each other home, to a home we've only dreamt that we've left. We're here to remind each other that we are loved and that our true nature is love. And we are here only to communicate that love and to share our happiness with one another. We do this as we look past and forgive all seeming error, so that we see only the divine and the goodness in all persons and things. And within ourselves, we see this. And as we see ourselves, so we will see the same in others. For a holy brother and sister is our guide to either greater truth or our guide into greater darkness. For as we see our brother or sister, so we will see ourselves. Or as we see ourselves, we will in turn project that onto others. So how we see another is a great indication of which mind we are looking through. Right-mindedness or the error of projecting, which we often call that part that tries to edge God out, or the ego mind. So pay attention to how you see the people that you interact with in your daily life. You know, it's interesting, the ego mind has two major modus operandi, denial and repression. So if you believe that you can separate from your Creator, then you can believe in emotions like guilt. And so in speaking of guilt, we're talking about the ontological guilt that arises from the idea that you could even leave the presence of God. The ego's response to guilt is to push it out of the mind, to pretend it's not there. And this is what denial and repression are, a mechanism in the sleeping mind to pretend guilt isn't there. Yet at the very instant of separation, or the dream of separation, or the imagination of separation, the Holy Spirit was given as the answer to the problem. The Holy Spirit is the remembrance and the reminder that you're one with God. So all problems are already solved and over and completed and finished and even erased because they have already been addressed and answered. But because of denial and repression, the sleeping mind has pushed the separation idea out of conscious awareness. It has pushed the Holy Spirit out of awareness. And the Holy Spirit and God have been reduced to mere concepts. And I think more than any place else, you see this in relationships. Because the reason this lack of awareness is perpetrated, let's say, in relationships, is because of projection. The false self or ego mind is the part that pushes out anything it doesn't like within itself to project upon the outer. Projection is a way, thus, of seeing outside of yourself something that you are still holding on to within. So the world is actually like a cover. The ego uses to keep you from seeing that your mind believes in separation. An example of this projection would be, let's say a partner whom you find controlling. It's because you still believe in the unconscious mind that control is possible. And this is projected out of your own subconscious as if your partner wants to control you. And this is the trick of the worldview that other people seem to do to you what you yourself have not allowed into your own awareness. You're hiding your stuff, as it were, not under a blanket or under a rug, but actually out in the world around you that you see and in the relationships that you interact with each day. There is another way. By letting the Holy Spirit or the divine inner master use your relationships and guide you in your relationships, they can then become a source of healing. And as you are healed, the relationship is healed. You don't need to deal with the relationship, only your issue with the relationship or within the relationship. And as you turn to that which is greater within yourself, that divine knower, that divine reconciler and corrector of error, it undoes the denial and repression. And once you understand how your mind works, the mystery is dissolved. You realize that you are doing all of this to yourself and that you can stop. You can stop. Jesus has this to say about guilt. This is from the text, page 79 in A Course in Miracles. Guilt is inescapable by those who believe they order their own thoughts and must therefore obey their dictates. This makes them feel responsible for their errors without recognizing that by accepting this responsibility, they are reacting irresponsibly. If the sole responsibility of the miracle worker is to accept the atonement, the oneness for himself, and I assume you that that is indeed the case, then the responsibility for what is atoned for cannot be yours. Any decision of the mind will affect both behavior and experience. And what you want, you expect. And what you expect, you will receive. And that's Jesus from A Course in Miracles. So, you can see that the responsibility for correcting the error that perceives separation involves turning our lives over to that higher power, that higher self, that is within our mind, within our heart, within our conscience, within our intuition. That's how it speaks, through conscience and intuition. Intuition means the inner tutor or the inner master, the inner teacher. So when we use the term Holy Spirit, if that is too religious for some people's taste, just slot in inner master, or whatever name resonates with you, because it's always the voice of the one beloved that's speaking, regardless of the name or the label that you've attached to it, or the concept. So you are in your right mind when you see no error. You are in your right mind when you see no error. Wow. Yeah. The teachings Jesus is giving in the Course of Miracles are quite uncompromising in always bringing it back to you and how you choose to see. So, when you're in your right mind, you see the original innocence instead in yourself and in all others. You see yourself and everyone as love, as their true divine state. So right-mindedness comes naturally when you accept your own sinless innocence. Then you also see in others what you've realized within yourself. That is how you can actually tell where you are in your consciousness. Everything depends upon how you see. Very interesting, because a God-realized master will only see the divinity and whoever comes before him or her. That's how you can tell they're God-realized, is that they realize that God alone is all there is, regardless of the outer form and appearance. You'll notice that with the God-realized masters of every world tradition. This is why when mystics and God-realized people interact, they speak the same language. For they've all had that same realization of the one beloved. They've awakened as the beloved, and they see only the beloved wherever they look. And so, observe what you choose to make real with your seeing. Observe, just notice, don't judge. Don't own error. Just be aware that this is a thought that you're going to turn over to the Holy Spirit. You're going to be asking that part to show you how to see everything anew. That's all you have to do. Turn it over to the one who can heal that sense of error, that split mind, that can make you whole. Actually has already done so, but functioning in the understanding that you still believe that you're a separate person living in a world of duality, it takes that into account and thus meets you at your stage of preparation and willingness. I say preparation, actually that's not quite accurate, because it's really a matter of our willingness. If we take one step of willingness towards God, God will take 1,000 towards us and will crown our little willingness with absolute total success, so that there's no way to fall out or to fall away from once you have taken that one step of willingness. It's like that one step of willingness is all it takes for the full quantum effect of the atonement to be extended. The whole reversal of how you see and believe yourself to be takes place out of time in that instant. And then in time, it is incrementally brought into your awareness by like a dimmer switch that is raised gradually as the brightening occurs within your mind, so that you're not thrown into fear. The divine spirit will never give you anything that would cause you to be afraid. That's why it's a very gentle, gradual increasing of the light of awareness. Granted, there are some people who, for whatever reason, are able to receive the full awakening in an instant. But one would have to assume that they had made the preparation at another time. Just know that whatever and wherever you are, your return to perfect sanity, perfect right-mindedness is guaranteed. Because in highest truth, you've never left the heart of God. You've never been in a body subject to birth and death. You are not in a body. The body's in you. You are not in the world. The world is in your mind. Everything is in your mind. And as the mind is brought back into perfect harmony, in the realization that you are God, initially by remembering God, and then gradually realizing that you are God, that you are that divine spirit, you are that inner master, you are that Christ, that there's been only one that was ever extended as love, and you are that one. And so that is the atonement, that is the return to original wholeness, that we are all in that process of experiencing. So what blocks the awareness of our own sinless innocence is subconscious guilt. It's that belief that we could disobey God, that we could incur the wrath of God, that we could make ourselves something that God did not make. See the arrogance of the ego? It believed it could make itself apart from God. And that's what causes the sense of guilt. That is the root of guilt, regardless of how it plays out. The root of guilt is the belief that we actually could separate ourselves from God and make a separate identity within a separate world. And thus we have this experience of seemingly being in a world of duality that appears to be separate from God. And that's what the Course in Miracles calls the ego's nightmare. And so the awakening and the return to right-mindedness is also called a happy dream. It is also a dream because in highest truth there is nothing to be corrected, there is nothing to be forgiven, no error ever happened, you've never been here in any real sense. So it's actually the belief in that that we call the error. It is that belief that is being dissolved in the light of awareness, in the experience of the atonement. And that is the only thing we need to ever forgive, really, in truth, is ourselves for forgetting that we are divine. For accepting as our identity human limitation, lack, sickness, death, misery, depression, unhappiness. For every hint of unhappiness and discontent and even restlessness can be traced to this sense of guilt. To all of the feelings that we have of personal inadequacy and lack and unworthiness, can all be traced to this belief in a false self and a self that we are trying to make real. Once you realize that every form that you see in the outer world is an image your mind has projected that symbolizes for you the belief system that you have made real for yourself. It's going to show you the ego's nightmare or the happy dream. Or if you fully awaken, it's going to show you the one face of the beloved. So it's always an inside job. It's an inside job that you do with God, who is with you 24/7, in you, as you. You are surrounded with God. You are in God like a fish in the water, like a bird in the air, like a tree in the forest. You are in God. God is in you. If your whole body suddenly could be seen as what it is, through a powerful, powerful microscope, you could see that your body is simply spacious light. It is mostly space. But that space, when you go into beyond the image-making capacity or the event horizon, and you go into the quantum universe of the singularity, beyond concept and cognition such as we know it, you become the absolute all that is, non-localized, everywhere present, the one that alone is, that we would know most readily in this world as unconditional divine love. It is that place that every true mystic touches to. When the guilt is dissolved in the awareness of oneness with God, that is the single I that Jesus spoke of when he said, when you become single in your vision, your whole body becomes filled with light. You actually become the body of light itself, which is not a body at all, but a presence. The illumined ones of this world only extend radiance. They are the very light of the all that is. In fact, the auric field becomes so radiant that the material atoms of the body itself become transfigured into pure atomic light. The bodily elements dissolve into original light and sound. That cosmic chord, that living word, becomes the very beingness. When that which seemed to be returns to that which forever is. And the place of that turning is in the mind, because the mind continually projects. It cannot not do that. The nature of the mind is to generate thought. That thought is either in harmony with truth, therefore it is the thought of God, or it is distorted in the error of ego, which sees only through the eyes of separation, difference, danger, and fear, or false evidence appearing real. So the ego, false self, that attempts to edge God out is a fictitious character that you've made up. It's not real at all. Ego actually doesn't even exist, apart from your mental concept of personal lack and guilt. You might say it's the form in your mind, the thought form, of personal lack and guilt. But you are not ego. There is no ego, for there is nothing apart or separate from God. It's not possible to edge God out except in your imagination. And your true self is God. Only what God created is real. That's why that which is real is never, ever threatened. Can't be harmed, can't be touched, can't be threatened. And God created only like itself, could only create like itself. And God is love. So you are perfect, whole, divine. So it is inevitable that you will drop all other self-concepts. You will ultimately accept and be what you are. The question is, will you be true to that self now? Are you willing? If not, that's what time was projected for. So you will remain in time and space until you're tired of time and space and want to go beyond. So again, wherever you are, that's where you're meant to be, and it's quite perfect. It is an experience in a classroom that you yourself have placed yourself in, because that's where you chose to be. So it always goes back to the self and what you choose, what you truly, truly want. But one day you will see the false self for what it is, simply a phantom of forgetfulness and a grudge you've held against yourself. To be happy and peaceful all the time is to live effortlessly as your natural state. Thus, you're allowing the divine spirit within to direct and orchestrate all things in your life. For you're allowing yourself to be lived by God. There is only God, perfect divine wholeness and holiness. And anything else is something the unhealed mind has projected. So awakening causes all the false phantoms to dissolve and disappear. Awakening is always to the present wholeness and present perfection. Awakening requires no time, no process, no technique. It is simply to accept your present wholeness. It's to be still and know, I am God. So take a deep breath and just sit quietly and remember, I am innocent, pure, whole, and divine. And ask the Divine Spirit to remind you whenever you feel upset. your little willingness will allow the Holy Spirit to instantly bring to your remembrance the truth of your divinity. So awakening is simply to open your eyes beyond the dream of a personal identity apart from God. Awakening happens when above all else you truly want to see. You truly want to open your eyes and see. And enlightenment is instant when your willingness is 100%. Awakening is what will solve all of your personal problems. It is the one answer to every question you could possibly have. It is the end to all suffering and unhappiness. For every form of suffering comes from the attempt to make falsehood real. God alone is real. And your true self is forever one with God. Realizing but that is genuine awakening and genuine enlightenment. And once fully accepted and realized, you will not revert back to the guilt-ridden, miserable false self. Instead, you will experience being truly alive for the first time and truly in love with all that you behold. You know, Jesus taught that we need to become like a little child to enter the kingdom of heaven. And what that means is that we need to let go of our conditioned mental concepts of being flawed and in error. Become innocent of thinking that we know anything. To be willing to let go of the known, the accepted beliefs about how things are or should be. I think initially we get to the place where we examine and question all that we've been taught. Everything we've learned in this world is basically to uphold the ego's nightmare. I think we get to a point where we just get to the rock bottom of wanting to keep, you know, awakening to this same dog-eat-dog world. We go through that abysmal dark night of the soul we seem to all go through just prior to being willing to awaken. So sometimes that pit of despair is the best thing that could happen to a person. When you're stripped down and you have no place else to go to, or to look to, but within. Then you've made some room for the Holy Spirit to reveal the real world beyond this one that the guilt has projected. So this world that is seen through the ego's eyes, the body's eyes, through the separated, unhealed mind is not the real world. This is not the world that God created. For God created only love and a loving creation that we share eternally. These are very deep, deep concepts that actually are more difficult to describe than they are to experience. But some of the things that you can look to as this dimmer switch goes up and the light in your mind begins to increase is that you begin to see the luminosity. It's like when you look out at forms or you begin to have light episodes where you see the aura, the white or the golden light around forms. And it'll be like peripheral little glimpses of something beyond that begins to appear the peripheral vision. Some days it will be like you're looking through a mist. Other days things will look like they're a painted backdrop. You'll have a distinct feeling like you're in the Truman Show, where everything is just a backdrop for a fictitious life. You'll actually feel like you're in some sort of a stage setting. And then other times when forms become transparent as you gaze upon them through the eyes of your inner light, you begin to see through your form and others' forms, or maybe through your hands or a part of your body. You'll be able to pierce with your inner vision right down into the light and energy field of solid matter. These are all things that I've experienced. That's why I'm sharing them. And your vision changes such that some days you can barely see through the misting of white light. And some days you can see with such stark clarity that it takes your breath away. Where the pristine color and beauty and definition of the world around you assumes a certain luminosity and appeal that can only be seen through that higher consciousness. But your eyesight, your seeing, both within and without, dramatically change as you go through this restoration to right-mindedness. And periodically, just close your eyes and take a deep breath. And ride your breath home to God, that place in the center of your core being. Absolutely quiet, like the eye of a storm. I will be still an instant and go home. That's the statement from the Course in Miracles. Remind yourself periodically through the day. These forms that I see are images my mind has made. Holy Spirit, teach me to see all things through the eyes of Christ. Show me heaven's loveliness in this form. Show me the beloved here. Let me see the holy innocence in this person. Teach me to see all things as God sees them. Another important thing is how you start your day. The Holy Spirit will give you exactly the kind of day that you want. If before your feet hit the floor, you ask for the type of day you want. And if you remember not to make any decisions by yourself without turning first to your guide to truth, you will be given that kind of day. We learn to ask before we agree to do anything. You don't make a ritual out of it. You just take that second to check if you're in alignment with loving. And you pay attention to your feelings. Does it feel congruent with your heart, your mind, your wanting to partake? Everything has to line up so that you don't feel a drag or a glitch or a check in your spirit. Things that are not full of otherness in the sense of the ego's error, generally, you won't think to question. There's a certain knowingness that comes when you're listening to the inner guide. And you learn to pay attention to that. If there's the slightest hint of dislike or really not being in full agreement, wait until you feel clear. Don't allow people to force you to make a decision when you don't have that inner green light, meaning that inner go-ahead. So know that God is in your mind and your mind is very holy. God's thoughts are in your mind and guide you through your conscience and intuition and in your loving feelings, your feelings of clarity and rightness. Intuition means your inner tutor. That is the only teacher. All outer teachers are simply the embodiment of your own intuition and your own readiness that that particular master represents in the teachings that are given. That's why all religions, all philosophies, all approaches basically teach the same curriculum, but at levels that you are ready to hear. That's why everybody is in the right place they need to be at the right time. And there's no exception to this except in the ego's judgment. Right where you are right now is where you are meant to be. You are 100% where you're meant to be and where you have requested to be. Well, what about if you're in an abusive situation? Well, that's the ego's agenda, to reinforce your sense of guilt. That's why you have to listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never, ever reinforce your sense of guilt. Ever. So whenever guilt comes up, you're listening to the wrong guide. The wrong guide leads you away from remembering God and remembering that you remain as God created you. The false voice will try to lead you into the world and away from God and will point out your faults, your shortcomings, your unworthiness, your fallibility, your danger. You see, you get the right idea? Don't listen to that. Most people allow themselves to be guided totally by that. But we're speaking to those of you who are very, very willing to stop the world and get off. And you can only do that if you stop the voice that keeps projecting your guilt out onto others. You can't fix the world. You can't fix anything. You can only allow that which is greater than that appearance of you in the world and the world that appears around you. And you allow that greater self to bring correction. So the final awakening is always the hand of God. We can prepare ourselves with willingness, but really the work is done by the inner Christ, the inner Lord, the inner Master, which eventually when you fully awaken, you'll realize you are the Holy Spirit. You are the Christ. You are the inner Master. But until that's your full realization, you have the sense that it is, again, a separate guide. So right-mindedness comes from hearing and heeding the gentle voice of love within. That is what will cause you to pause before acting or speaking and asking, what would love do or say? It causes you to discern how to be truly helpful in any given situation. We don't really know what to do or what to say, but the inner guide to truth does and will guide us as we turn within and ask. So right-mindedness is to live attuned to the divine counsel. This presence divine will never leave or forsake you. It is present 24/7 and responds instantly to you. This Holy Spirit is your true self, assuming the role of an inner master. Again, until you awaken to the fact that it is your true self. Yet, while you dream that you are a separate human being in a physical world of conflict and suffering and duality, it takes the form of the inner master to gently call you to awaken and remember and realize that you remain at home with God, ever whole, divine, and perfect. So your sole task is to allow the Holy Spirit to heal and restore your sanity, your right-mindedness. And the Holy Spirit will open your eyes and heart to true vision and divine seership and unconditional love when you're willing. Your job is to step back and allow the Divine Spirit to lead the way and to teach you to see all things as God does, forever perfect and lovable. Once you do this, there will be not one thing that the Holy Spirit will not arrange for you without your effort. The Holy Spirit will go before you and literally clear the way, leaving no stone for you to stumble upon, and no obstacle to bar your way. Nothing you need will be denied you, and not one seeming difficulty but will dissolve and disappear as you approach it. Once you make that one Holy Spirit your guide to truth, and you listen and are willing to be taught anew how to see, how to be, how to understand all things, everything else is taken care of for you. Everything else is taken care of for you without your effort. That seems preposterous to many. And yet, I've lived like that now for some years. And although I'm still on my way to having my mind healed, I'm remembering more and more that I am one with God. I'm realizing freedom from error more and more. And more, all I see is the Beloved. More and more, I often don't see anything else. So, there are many that I know of that are moving into that state now. We're going home together as we awaken, for no one is healed alone. No one awakens but that the whole is stirred into greater light. This is how we awaken the entire world to their original joy and innocence. This is the awakening that will cause us to put our guns and our instruments of destruction aside and join hands and begin to celebrate life and love and cherish and care for one another. This is the best thing we can do to heal the world, is to allow right-mindedness to be restored. by the divine spirit within our mind, within our heart, within our intuition and conscience. This is the gift that we can give at this holy time of year to each other. And so, in the true spirit of the Christ Mass, the celebration of the birth of original innocence and truth, I bless each one of you this evening. And may this new energy that we move into in 2014, may we greet it as we do each day in a new presentation of willingness to be the light of God. And let's go out chanting, "And I hear." Deep breath. Just feel the peace of God filling you and filling this earth, and see the light filling the earth like a great fountain, dissolving all error and sense of separation as we awaken everywhere as the one beloved. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord, which is yours and mine.